Greetings, brothers and sisters. The decider, Jill Biden's unparalleled influence and impact on the president. In an interview with NBC News, Jill Biden discusses the family's future, whether Joe should run again, and if she's concerned about the investigation swirling around Hunter Biden. Well, let's see what she has to say here.
First Lady Dr. Jill Biden makes it clear that she has a unique influence on the decision her husband makes inside the White House, including his decision on a potential re-election campaign for 2024. NBC News White House correspondent Mike Memoli joins us now for details from that interview. Mike, it's good to see you this Friday. First off, just give us the big picture here. I mean, what does the First Lady have, and what are some of the key things she has advised her husband on?
Well, Morgan, as we say in this piece, there really has never been a First Lady quite like Jill Biden. Part of that is...
Yeah, really? You mean Dr. Jill Biden? Are you going to let her speak? Where is she? She's not there. Here she is here.
That. Well, Jill Biden is really...
No. Okay, so they don't have the interview with Jill Biden, but we do have... Let Joe be Joe. You mean a man with dementia, a sniffling, snoozling... screw up, plagiarizer, liar, and thief, and father of Hunter Biden. Biden appears to zone out when asked what wife thinks about him running again in 2024. First, there was this. This was epic.
Trust Republicans on the economy.
He's just so confused.
And think that Republicans should control Congress. How do you break through that?
I'm not sure about the polls.
He's not sure about the polls. Elections, sure. Elections are solid. You don't be an election denier. But the polls, he's not sure about the polls. He doesn't believe in those polls or science. But elections, sure. The science that he believes in, sure.
Because, you know, the way people conduct polls today, it's hard. 90% of it is you get on a telephone where you have to call seven times to get somebody to answer the phone. Number one.
Exactly. That's number one.
Number two.
He just did number one on him, and it depends.
Of what we've done and we've passed has not kicked in yet. For example, you know, we have all this money to rebuild the highways, bridges, internet, et cetera. But it's going to take time. It's not all happening overnight. It's not like we passed the law and all of a sudden the highways and bridges are all functioning. It's not like we're in a position where we're saying...
Yeah, things are going to get so much better. People are going to vote for him in droves.
No senior, which...
That's his mask touch. He does that. Like when he wants to touch his mask.
No senior, which we do, is going to have to pay more than $2,000 a year for their drug costs. Even so, some are paying $13, $14, $15 with help of their families.
Because boom, exactly. He's going to get all the senior votes.
The cancer drugs and the like. It hadn't kicked in. It doesn't kick in until next year.
It's going to kick in. All right. But here's the funny one.
Didn't you ran in 2020, but you write in the book that Beau said it was, quote, your obligation, your, quote, duty.
His dead son Beau died of brain cancer, but he said in Iraq because he's, you know, his brain doesn't work anymore.
To run. And you also write duty was a word Beau Biden did not use lightly.
Beau Biden, he only used the word duty when he was serious about duty.
You're president now. And there are plenty of people who are saying that you shouldn't run again because of your age. I'm wondering, what do you...
plenty of them.
What do you think Beau Biden would say to those people who think you shouldn't run again?
So I want to talk about this more at the end, right? But this guy is talking about it like it's a choice, like dementia is a choice. You just, you know, just rub some dirt on it, right? Like... Rub some dirt on your dementia. You know, he makes it sound like his mental deterioration is something that he could overcome, right? I want to get back to this. I'm going to restate this later on. But watch how this guy presents it. What would Beau say about those people who say, hey, you're drooling on yourself and you stumble on your words and you don't have your dexterity and your ability to reason. You're confused all the time. You wander around on stage. You know, you're senile. What do you think Beau Biden would say about those people?
What do you think Beau Biden would say to those people who think you shouldn't run again?
It's not so much he'd say to those people, what he'd say to me, in my view. The only reason to be involved in public life is, can you make life better for other people?
And the answer is no, you can't.
And depending on who the opponent is, if they have a view that is so and such antithesis.
You mean Trump? Like, the only reason for you to run, your son, your dead son would say, well, if Trump runs, you got to run, no matter how senile you are.
What I believe democracy...
It's your duty to be a senile president.
See, and I believe is good for average Americans.
He's fading fast here.
The argument was, Dad, you have an obligation to do something. The reason I'm not making a judgment about formally running or not running, once I make that judgment, a whole series of regulations kick in. And I treat myself as a candidate from that moment on. I have not made that formal decision, but it's my intention. My intention to run again. And we have time to make that decision.
Dr. Biden is for it. Mr. President. Oh.
Dr. Biden thinks that...
He just completely glitched out.
My wife thinks that... That we're doing something very important.
I'm glad you really reflected and took your time with that brilliant answer.
And that I shouldn't walk away from it.
Joseph R. Biden, President of the United States, thank you very much.
Joseph R. Biden.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Boom. This is who we are.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Barack Obama's Vice President. And I'm Jill Biden's husband.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Jill Biden's husband.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Jill Biden's husband.
You know, like a granddad joke. It's not even a dad joke. It's a granddad joke. And, well, let me show you this. He stole it, right? He plagiarized it from JFK, so it isn't even his original joke.
I do not think it altogether inappropriate to introduce myself to this audience. I am the man who accompanied Jacqueline Kennedy to Paris, and I've enjoyed it.
I am Jill's husband.
Hello.
As I said many times before, I'm Jill's husband.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jill Biden's husband. My name's Joe Biden. Please sit down. I'm Jill's husband. And Naomi Biden's grandfather.
My name is Joe Biden. I am Joe Biden's husband.
I'll come back to JoJo Magoo in a bit. Kanye West addresses anti-Semitic backlash, refuses to be canceled, we hear. He says, I ain't losing money. The day I was taken off of the Balencia site, that was the one of the most freeing days. They're trying to mute him. We're here, baby. We are not going nowhere. I want to talk about the Jewish comment. It's actually proven the exact point that I made. I think he's saying about being canceled, or them trying to cancel him. I think that's what he's referencing. And again, it's not Kanye, it's Ye. He no longer has the legal name Kanye West. Vogue says it has no intention of working with Kanye West in the future, or Ye. This shriveled up old dude is just putting her foot down. Neither Anna Wintour nor Vogue intend to work with Ye West again, or just Ye, because of his anti-Semitic rants and support for the White Lives Matter cause. Okay, so I got a great comment about my Laura Logan commentary that I want to get to, which is going to be hard for the right-wing truthers, Christians, QBs to hear, because this is the sentiment of the comment, but the person obviously didn't understand what I was talking about. And so before I do that, though, you know, there's so much with JoJo Magoo that shows you how far gone the left is. Because the left is supposed to be educated people, college people, right? They're supposed to be, they think of themselves as smarter and more scientific. And there is science behind dementia, science behind a failing performance, right? And Jojo Magoo has not been a competent person. You can see it in his walk. You can see it in everything that he exhibits, right? He has, you know, better moments. Some moments are better than others, but he's not really able to do his job. I mean, in a competent way. And we can all see it. And you have all these reporters whose job it is to say, hey, we're going to have to, you know, make sure everybody knows this guy has dementia because it's our job to make sure that the president isn't senile, right? You know, they did this with Reagan. Reagan was senile the last so many years of his life. And his son, Ronnie Jr., came out and said that he had Alzheimer's. So for the last 3 years of his life, and he had a handler of a wife, Nancy Reagan, right? There was a joke that said, you know, that Nancy Reagan was engaged to some other guy. And she said, what would have happened if you married somebody other than Ronnie? Where would you be now? And she said, in the White House. Like she was going to end up there no matter what. So Jill Biden and Nancy are kind of similar. They're handlers, all of that stuff. But it's the doctor's job. It's the, you know, media's job. It's the other politician's job to make sure that everybody's clear that this guy is mentally incompetent and can't do it. And they might try to pull that later on, but they don't really have another candidate. Kamala is a disaster. Like, people don't like her. She has zero chance of winning in any real, you know, real election process. And so it's, you know, the delusion. I showed you a little clip of some guy who was saying Jojo Magoo had an epic comeback, and it was one of his gaffe-ridden, nonsensical statements where he said, you ever hear that old saying, chew gum and walk at the same time? Which is kind of a burn on himself, but also it shows you his, you know, no malarkey roots, right? But it's just the delusion, right? It's just the, you know, the wishful thinking, and that's what I'm talking about here with Laura Logan. This is the wishful thinking. So before I move forward with Laura Logan, I want to show you just a little bit of a clip of what she said, and then I'll kind of go over what I said when I read the comment of the person, and then just, you know, try to make it even clearer for people who just don't want to hear it, right? Who don't have the capacity or the ability to hear what I'm saying because they're, you know, smoking the you know, the right-wing hopium. Newsmax TV bans reporter over wacky rant about Satan, insects, and drinking blood. So this is Laura Logan, who used to be on 60 Minutes and Fox, and she was assaulted, you know, sexually or something, in one of those, you know, in Iraq, one of those countries.
It's right out of the playbook. They're right out of the socialist playbook. You divide and conquer. You don't tell them your intent. You get people to come in. You got your useful idiots, those of us who are paying for these people to have all these luxuries. And they.
Yeah, exactly. This Newsmax just gets it.
Lie about it. Yeah. How's it end?
Well, badly. It ends badly for some. Okay, so on a serious note, you know, people of all faiths have said to me that this is a spiritual battle. I am a firm.
See, when you say it's a spiritual battle, I just want to say this, because lots of people say this here. Spiritual battles don't take place on the material world. I mean, they do, but they don't, right? Because that implies that there is a good guys, and they have the backing of God, and they defeat the bad guys, and then everything's good, and there's a happy ending. That's how people have been trained to think. That doesn't exist, right? This isn't going to happen here. Our civilization is demonic. Our society is demonic. Our system is demonic. And by demonic, I mean it opposes the natural order of things, the divine order of things, and God's will. It's an ego-based system that is about ego gratification and selfishness, and it goes against the natural order of things, the divine order of things. And so that's what I mean when I say demonic. Not in the biblical sense, but in terms of you either align yourself with God's will or you're demonic, right? You go off on your own and you do your own thing and you, you know, you thumb your nose at God, and that's when you've become a demon. And most people are doing that. Even religious people are doing that. They have lost touch with their soul and their soul's purpose, these things I cover here so much, right? And so this idea that there's going to be a spiritual battle and it's somehow going to divinize this system, you know, it's a debt-based economic system. Our parents sold out the system. Well, let's just let her finish here. I'll cover this more at the end.
That this is a spiritual battle. I am a firm and solid and immovable believer in God. And I believe that God wins. I believe that good is greater than evil. And I believe that the fallen angel, otherwise known as Satan, doesn't get to prevail in this world.
you know, there was a thing that my brother was telling me, that a woman came up to Master Charge and said, I just don't understand, you know, does the Sajmark system, the previous master of the system. And said, I don't understand how God would run this world this way. And he said, wait, you think God's running this world, right? You know, we have freedom of choice. And that's, you know, that's how, what you're seeing here is freedom of choice, right? And this is what people are choosing. And, you know, people have been conned into choosing this. And this, you know, it's not always what people will choose. It's also the yuga. It's also the time period. But this is what we've chosen. Like, the world the way it is now is what we've collectively chosen. And some people, of course, worse than others, but we've all kind of gone along with it, right?
So if you follow the Bible, or if you follow the Quran, or you follow the Book of Mormon, you know, people talk in various different ways about the end times. And if you fight for God, God will fight for you. But people,
final,
humanity...
Final thought, Lara. Final thought, though. I have to ask you this, because my audience is very God-fearing, God-loving, etc.
God-fearing and God-loving. They're scared of God, but they also love God.
Final thought. Only a couple of seconds, please. Is God okay with a closed border?
It's much bigger than that. God believes that in sovereignty and national identity and the sanctity of family and all.
God doesn't believe in sovereignty, right? God doesn't believe in governments, right? This is a construct. This is our construct. Governments are not from God. Governments will never be from God. Governments can serve God. The government you create can align itself with the divine principles, right? And the people themselves can be spiritual in nature. And that's not what's happening now, right? But God doesn't care about sovereignty, right?
All the things that we've lived with from the beginning of time. And he knows that the open border is Satan's way of taking control of the world through all...
What are you talking about?
All of these people who are his stooges and his servants, and they may think that they're going to become gods. That's what they tell us. Yuval Noah Harari and all the rest of them at the World Economic Forum. You know, the ones who want us eating insects, cockroaches, and that while they dine on the blood of children. Yeah. Those are the people.
Oh wow! There you go. That got her off of Newsmax. The blood of children. She's okay until she went full QB, right?
Right? They're not going to win. They're not going to win.
They're not going to win. There's no winning or losing in this thing. There's a collapse of a system and everybody losing their lifestyle. That's what is going to happen, right? It's not like there's winner and losers. I mean, it's a system that was there for a while and we had all these privileges. And we had the biggest privilege, which was free time, which we've misused. And, you know, now we are wherever we are. But, you know. That's Laura Logan, but she'll get a lot of love somewhere, right? She'll get, and this is the kind of thing where she goes on the internet. I don't know what she has. She was fired from Fox, I think it said in the article. And she was on 60 Minutes, I know that, before that. CBS or one of those things. But, you know, she'll get a following somewhere. So just so you know, I might be having some garbled audio. I'm trying to figure out whether it's just I need to get a new mic or a new something connecting the mic to the computer, or it's something to do with the software. So occasionally I'm experiencing garbled audio. And I'll mention this on my other channel and other places. And, you know, it's usually harder for me to redo it than if it's audible, I just leave it, right? And so sometimes I'm not listening to these audios. Today, my family and I went out and we got hay for our cows, and so I had kind of a weird night last night, and my back was already a little bit not in great shape, a little bit sore, so you know, I'm trying to get all these videos done. I'm not going to probably get a chance to listen to this audio too after I put them up on the internet, just so everybody knows. And there's a great video. I should mention this at the beginning of the video tomorrow. Two videos ago, it says epic mega Hollywood celebrities dropping like flies on my other channel. And that has some, you know, for me, some cool revelations. But here's the comment. And the person says, I'm a little bit surprised at your dismissal of what Laura Logan was saying at 4:14:14. She's talking about this guy. It's that guy who's, you've seen him, you know, he's, you probably know who he is. And then the person said, and yes, God wins. And, you know, I was talking about how it's stupid to say that God wins. And let me explain this to you. God isn't in competition. See, it's a very, like, immature, kindergartenish, like, in terms of the spiritual, your spiritual journey, it's like the kindergarten level of spirituality, to think that the devil and God are in competition. They're playing a game. That the devil is somewhere on the level of God, right? Whatever the devil is, whatever, you know, these negative entities that are, that they're competing for souls, but God has such an advantage and God's always good. And God is like the Harlem Globetrotters and the devil's like the Washington Generals. In the end, God always wins. It's just stupid to think that way. God isn't competing, right? God is in everything. And God is, everything may is made of God. If you go to the center of or the base of anything, you'll find God. The essence of your existence. That's your soul. That's your, you know, whatever, your spiritual essence, the rock. Rocks have a divine essence and, you know, whatever, every animal, every dirt has a divine essence, right? Trees. There is some manifestation of divine energy that brings your existence into being. And then there's grosser and grosser forms that surround that divine essence. So at the center is the divine essence. And so, you know, this is easy to understand if you're open to it. It's just this idea that God is in everything and is everything. God has given us freedom of choice, which means he's given us the ability to choose wrong. Because if we could only choose right, that isn't freedom of choice. And so it's choices that go away from the divine plan and go against God's will, go against the natural order of things. God's given us that choice. And so there's no sense of winning and losing, right? Eventually, when the choices get so out of hand, and a mess is made, and creation is threatened because of our wrongdoing, our wrong choices, either individually or collectively, they have to clean up the mess. And so there's a divine process that's always trying to clean up the mess. It's trying to bring truth to deception, truth to delusion, truth to lies, right? And so there's no sense of winning. It's just stupid. Did God win when America bombed and killed 1 million Iraqis, many of them innocent people? Did God win when Jojo Magoo dropped a drone on those kids in Afghanistan and wrecked those countries? And when America wrecked Libya, or, you know, when the English people came in and slaughtered the Native Americans or took slaves or whatever it is, right? Did God win then, right? Did God win when, you know, they, I mean, just all the stuff that's going on socially now. And so this idea of God winning is based in a limited material view that there's winning and losing. Like if there's winning and losing, then death is losing, then we all are losers, right? Because we're all going to die. And so, you know, if suffering is losing, then we're all losers because we all suffer. I mean, it's stupid to think that way, right? God doesn't care about the material world. I mean, not in the sense that, you know, it's part of his existence. But the outcomes of petty little, you know, I mean, does God win when a sadistic kid goes and stomps a bunch of bugs? And, you know, when I was a little kid, my friend's older brother was, there was this movie called Goldfinger where the villain painted a, you know, a Bond lover girl in gold paint and she died because her pores couldn't breathe. And this guy got a can of spray paint and was spray painting bugs, and then he started to set bugs on fire, right? I mean, does God care? It's like when we look at ants, do we, like, you know, there's a structure and a civilization, and if they're in our way, we just, or if they, you know, they're fire ants or something, we go destroy them, right? Wasp nests. I mean, they have an existence. They have society. They have a right to live. But, you know, we don't want to get killed by, we don't want to get stung by a bunch of hornets or whatever. And so, you know, do we care about their existence or whatever it is, right? And so, you know, death is a part of life and there's no like winning and losing. We're all going to die. We're all going to be a part of the, you know, the food system. Our body's going to be a, either we're cremated, then we become something else, right? But there's no winning and losing. It's like an immature way. It's like thinking that good and bad aren't a part of the same, you know, the same coin, right? Good and evil, like God's good and the devil's evil. It's just it's a silly way to look at life, right? It's immature. Again, if that's all you can do, fine. But, you know, this is not for that, right? My channel's not for that. I mean, I mock and do stupid stuff here. But in terms of the spiritual understanding of things, this is beyond that, right? Like good and evil are part of God's choice, God's plan. We can choose what God wants us to do. We can choose what our soul wants us to do. Or we can choose something our ego wants us to do that goes away from that. And that's evil, right? And that's all it is, right? It's bad choices. You know, sometimes it's mischievous. Sometimes it's even worse. But all the stuff that's happening on planet Earth isn't like a competition between good and evil. I mean, that's, you know, there's a way that good and evil is a, there's a divine drama to, you know, clean things up and to grow and understand, you know, make mistakes and get a better view of things through experience, like you're playing a video game. But there's no sense of winning. Like it's not, you know, winning in that sense, right? It's just understanding God's way and learning to do the right thing and maturing on a spiritual level. And as long as you're, you know, in some binary Laura Logan world, in this, you know, hope, smoking hopium, and think that this system can be saved because God always wins. You know, this isn't God's system. It's not a system based in divinity. God didn't create a debt-based scam. God didn't create a Ponzi scheme. It was created with godly energy. People use their freedom of choice to make a deviant system that goes away from the natural order of things. And we're all dependent on that deviant system. And when it collapses, it's going to suck because we're all dependent on it, but it's going to collapse because it's not divine. And even if it was divine, things come to their natural conclusion. It's no winning or losing. It's just things end, right? Death isn't a loss. It's a loss for other people, maybe. But death is the end of your experience here. And then your soul goes on to bigger and better things, hopefully, or goes into some other, you know, negative situation, right? Depending on what kind of life you lived. Anyways, only spirituality will save this world. It's Paul Romano, definitely pouring from the Apocalypse. In the Ascension, everyone have a blessed day and be grateful.